Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a teaching that I've been doing for over 4 weeks. This is now the middle of my fifth week teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith. And we are nearing the end of that teaching. Friday is going to be my last day, and I'd just like to promote once again that I have this brand new book entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. And it's a greatly expanded book. If any of you got our previous editions of that, it was about less than half that size. I've included a number of other things that I believe that have enhanced this. And we've put it out as a hardback because I believe that this really is kind of the main thrust that God has given my ministry, is to show the balance of grace and faith. And Friday is going to be my last day to make this offer here on television. So please take advantage of it. Listen at the end of our program and we'll be giving out that information. Now, I've been talking about this week how God loves us unconditionally. And I tell you, this is just so powerful. This is one of the things that I've learned by me understanding this balance of grace and faith, that grace is what God does, faith is what I do. My faith does not make grace come. Grace is something that is independent of me. Prior to my existence, God provided all of these things, and all faith does is receive what God has already provided by grace. One of the benefits that that made in my life is that I have come to understand God's love is unconditional. And this has taken care of condemnation. It doesn't mean that I don't recognize when I do something wrong, that I don't still try and improve and get better. But I am no longer condemned and feeling that God is withdrawing from me or upset because I'm not perfect. God doesn't love me because I'm perfect. He loves me because He is love and not because I'm lovely. I just can't tell you how much that truth has changed my life. It is a foundation that I use constantly. You know, just last night, I was just praising God and thinking about the goodness of God and how good He's been to me and thinking about, God, I don't deserve all of this. Now, I wasn't mad or down on myself or upset, but I'm just thinking about, God, You're just a good God. I really believe that until you come to the end of yourself and quit trusting in self-righteousness, that you cannot really understand how much God loves you. As long as you think God's love is somehow or another deserved or earned by you, then you don't understand the unconditional aspect of God's love. And it, in a sense, cheapens God's love. You know, if you could just think back, we see movies and plays and different things. And when you see somebody who has been wronged and who has been treated badly and they turn around and still treat a person with love and you realize that it's not earned, it's not deserved, you know, that places a greater value. That means that their love is a greater type of love. Most people, matter of fact, I was using the verses yesterday out of Romans chapter 5, and it says that, you know, people will sometimes die for another person if that person has done something great for them. But to think that a person would die for a person who has hated them and betrayed them and done these things wrong, in the natural realm, you just don't find that. But then it says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. God's love is unconditional. It's not based on anything that we've done. And I believe that once you understand that, I tell you what, your revelation of God's love just goes through the roof when you quit trying to tie it to some worth or value on your own. When you sit down and just recognize that God is good to you because God is a good God, and the only part you play is that you can believe and receive, or if you doubt, then you do without. You could stop it, you could reject it, but you don't cause God to love you. You don't cause God to be good to you. God is good because He is love. Look at this verse, 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7. It says, Beloved, Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. How do you know that God loves you? Well, most people would say something about, well, I'm trying to do my best and I'm living holy. And immediately they would start speaking for something that they are doing that makes them valuable to God, something that makes them worthy of receiving this. But this says, here's how we know the love of God, in the fact that He sent His Son to die for us. And I could combine this with that scripture I was using yesterday, Romans 5:8. He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. So I believe you can plug all that back in. Here's how you know the love of God is that while you were still a sinner, before you had done anything to improve yourself, before you'd quit your drinking and your cussing and your carousing and all of the things that you do, before you did anything good, God loved you. And God sent His Son to die for you. That's how you know God's love. It is when you understand that it's you didn't deserve it, that you aren't worthy of it. That's when you begin to get a revelation. That's how you get God's love manifest. The next verse says in verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How is it that you know the love of God? It's not because you did something that made yourself worthy. You didn't love God and God loved you back. The truth is God sent His Son and died for us when all of us were doing our own thing, when we didn't even know about God, we didn't care about God, and God pursued you. Often you'll hear people say something about, I found God. Well, it's more accurate to say that He found you. Amen. God wasn't one that was lost. You were lost. God's one that pursued you. And we say, oh, I found God. But the truth is God's been seeking you. God's been good to you. God's been faithful to you the whole time you were out living in sin and rejecting God and all of His offers towards you. In verse 11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us because He hath given us of His Spirit. And all of these verses are just talking about the love that God has for us. And see, this is one of the great truths that has been made in my life is that God's grace is unconditional. His love is unconditional. It's not based on what I do. I don't live right to get God to love me. God loves me and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't make Him love me more. I can't make Him love me less. Now, there's things I can do to receive and understand and appropriate God's love more, and there's things I can do that'll harden my heart towards the love of God. And so, yes, I do need to live holy, but my holiness doesn't change God's attitude towards me, changes my attitude towards God. Boy, those are powerful truths. And this has set me free. And let me just say to you that the reason some of you have not really experienced God's love is because you are still maintaining your own goodness. And you are still trying to earn God's favor. You are still thinking that God owes something to you. And what that does, it diminishes, it decreases, it pollutes and dilutes God's kind of love. You need to recognize God's love for you is independent of you and independent of any good in your life. Boy, that's powerful. You know, my personal testimony, for those of you that haven't heard this, I got born again when I was 8 years old. My dad shared the gospel with me. I actually had the pastor of my church, Brother Fred Harris. He watches this program every day. And praise God, he spoke a message that got my attention. When I went home, I was asking my dad about, man, am I going to hell because I haven't made Jesus my Lord? And I was only 8 years old, and my dad had enough wisdom to sit down and share with me and explain to me. And when I understood that God loved me and that He didn't want me to go to hell and that He had made a provision so that I could be saved, then at 8 years old in my bedroom with my dad, I prayed and I got born again at 8 years old. And I mean, immediately there was peace. Whereas I'd been in turmoil and fear about, am I going to hell? And immediately I felt the peace and the satisfaction that I was in right standing with God. But then I started going to church, and I developed this attitude, and I'm not trying to blame anybody else. I don't think that things were presented to me as well as they could, but, you know, ultimately it's the way I took it. And I took it that I had to earn God's favor and that I had to be worthy. Now, I didn't get saved by doing that. I was told about the goodness of God, but nonetheless, I started going to church, and I was told that now I had to study and I had to pray, and I couldn't do all of these things. I was raised in a very strict, legalistic type of thing. And, you know, right now, my hair is long. I was talking to some people here that are working on our TV thing, and my hair is so long that it hits my collar and it's curled up. And, man, in the church that I grew up in, if your hair touched your collar, you went straight to hell. You did not pass go. You didn't collect $200. This was wrong. And, you know, I just was trying so much. I dressed right. I talked right. I'm now 60 years old. I've never said a word of profanity. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I have been Mr. Righteous, Mr. Holy all of these years, and I've done all of these things. But I fell into the trap of thinking that as I did these things and tried to live by the standards that were taught me, that it would make God love me more. And just, a part of that, if you believe that, well, then it automatically makes you think that people who aren't living as good as you, God can't love them as much as you. And because everything is based on performance. And so I began to be like a religious Pharisee, a hypocrite that looked down my nose and was critical of other people and thinking about, oh, God, you know, thank you that I'm not like this publican over here. I fast twice in the week and things like this, like that Pharisee said in the Bible. And I became a religious Pharisee, and I got to where I was basing my relationship with God on performance. And because of that, it motivated me to perform. And I performed better than most of you watching this program, better than just about anybody I knew. I actually was leading more people per week to the Lord than the pastor of the church. I started special youth visitations. I went to adult visitation. I started youth. I was doing all of these things. But I had fallen into the trap of thinking God would love me more if I did these things. And if I didn't do them, God would love me less. And even though I was doing better than most people I knew, I never felt that God really loved me. I would have said that He loved me. I knew that He loved me to a degree, but I never really enjoyed the love of God. It hadn't changed my life. It was something that was a goal, but it was like unobtainable. And from the time I was 8 until I was 18, I played this religious game, and I did better than just about anybody that I knew. I was disciplined. I did all of these things. And yet I had an encounter with the Lord March the 23rd, 1968, when I was 18 years old. Long story. But the bottom line is, it's just like I had something happen in that prayer meeting where I was looking down my nose at a person. I was judging them because they weren't as holy as I was. I was feeling very smug about all of this and thinking, God, You are so blessed and fortunate to have somebody like me serving You. I know some of you are thinking, at 18 years old, you were like that. Yep, I was. And you know what? I don't know why. I don't know how. But it's just like God pulled a curtain back, a veil that had been over my eyes, and I couldn't see what I was doing was wrong. And it's like God pulled that curtain back and just began to show me the sin, the arrogance. Now, again, it wasn't sin that some people call. I'd never gone out and taken a drink, never smoked a cigarette, hadn't used profanity. I mean, I've never even tasted coffee. And I know some of you are thinking, coffee? What are you saying? Are you putting coffee and booze in the same category? No, I'm just saying I lived a holy life. You got a scripture to stand on for drinking coffee. Mark 16, I believe verse 18 says, you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. Amen. Don't write into me or call. That was a joke, all right? Lighten up. Some of you are going to call in and criticize. It happens every time. Get a life. Amen. I'm just saying that I was living a holy life, but I was trusting in this goodness, and God pulled back this curtain, and I began to see my sins of attitude and self-righteousness. I began to see how I was looking down on people and how I was so judgmental and I was hypocritical. And God began to show me those things. And, you know, there are some of you that may have done terrible things. You might have been in jail. You may have lived, just like a sinner before you got born again. And you've done terrible, terrible things. And you feel like, man, you've been so condemned and so guilty. And you think, how could a person like me ever understand you? Well, even though I didn't do as much outward things, and by men's standards, I may have lived a holier life, I doubt if there is anybody, or certainly there's very few people, that have ever had God just shine His pure, holy light on you the way that I've had it shined on me. And I mean, God showed me the vileness of these attitudes and my self-righteousness. And you know what? That is, I believe, worse than adultery, than homosexuality, than murder or rape or anything, is this self-righteousness to where you think you are good enough that God owes you something. And again, I was 18 years old. This happened in just a split moment. I don't know how, but I just intuitively saw myself and my hypocritical attitude. And I mean, I became sick of myself. And I was in a prayer meeting on a Saturday night in front of the youth leader, my best friends, all of the spiritual people in my life, and I didn't care. I just turned myself inside out, and I began to confess every rotten thing, not only the actions. It wasn't the actions with me that were so bad. It was the sins of the heart. Jesus said, if you lust in your heart, you're guilty of adultery, even if you never commit the physical act. And man, I began to confess the lust that was in my heart, the judgment that was in my heart, things that I wasn't even aware were wrong until God showed this to me. And I just turned myself inside out in front of all of these people. I came to the end of myself. And some of you may find this hard to believe, but the doctrine that I had, I honestly thought God was going to kill me. I thought that when He showed all of this to me, and when I saw how ungodly I was, I just assumed that that's the first time God had seen it. Amen. And I expected God to kill me. I was told that God wanted to kill my dad when I was 11, 12 years old. I was told that God judged people. I was given stories of the wrath of God coming on people, and I just expected God to kill me. But before He killed me, I was going to confess all of this stuff and plead for mercy, beg for mercy, and hope that I wouldn't go to hell, that I'd go to heaven, because I was just going to confess it and get it all out. So I confessed everything. I prayed for like an hour and a half. I embarrassed myself, the things that I was saying. There's no telling what other people that were present were thinking as I just poured all of this junk out. But here's my point for bringing all of this up. When I came to the end of my self-righteousness, and when I quit trusting in myself and thinking, God, now I've done this and this, now will You love me, and tying God's love to any value, any worth on my part whatsoever. When I came to the end of that self-righteousness, and I'd said everything that there was to say, I didn't have anything else to say, God showed His love to me. And God just gave me an assurance that He loved me. And for the first time in my life, I knew that it was unconditional. I knew that there was nothing lovely in me. I had, for the first time in my life, realized that I wasn't deserving of God's favor. Prior to that time, I'd been trying to earn it and be good enough for God to love me. And I was doing the right things. I was seeking the right goals, but I was doing it basing everything on my goodness. And for the first time in my life, I literally came to the end of myself and, God, I don't deserve anything. I was expecting wrath and judgment, and I just pled for mercy. And God gave me mercy, and He gave me love. I mean, for 4.5 months, I was caught up in the presence of God. I was just gone someplace in my heart. Physically, I was still there. But I mean, I didn't eat or sleep consciously for 4.5 months. I never slept over an hour at a time. I couldn't sit down at a meal and eat. God loved me. Man, food lost its appealed to me. I ate something, you know, every once in a while, but I mean, I never sat down and ate a meal. I just was overwhelmed with God's love. And the thing that really made that love so special in my life, and here I am 41 years later, and I've never gotten over this. Again, last night I spent a lot of time just thanking God and praising God for how much He loves me and that I don't deserve any of it. And 41 years later, that is still as real to me. It's probably actually more real now because I've lived it so much. It's so much a part of me. That 41 years later, that love of God is still changing my life. And you know what made it special is when I quit tying God's love to me to something that I did to deserve it. When I finally came to the end of myself and said, Father, I just don't deserve this. And I repented of all of those things. And then God's love came. Boy, it just bowled me over. I have never gotten over it. I don't ever plan on getting over it. It changed my life. And there are some of you who I know say, oh yeah, I know that God loves me. And then in the next breath, God, I'm gonna do this. I promise you I'll do this. And if I'll just live holier, now will you heal me? Now will you move in my life? And you are connecting God's love to your worth and value. You don't really understand God's love if that's the way you're thinking. As long as you make God's love conditional on your performance, then you have downgraded God's love to like a human love. Humans will treat you right if you treat them right. If you scratch their back, they'll scratch yours. If you do everything that they want, there's lots of people that as long as you are just asset to them, they will love you and they'll honor you and they'll help you. But boy, do something wrong, fail. And most people will reject you in a heartbeat. They'll turn away from you the moment you quit to be an asset to them. But God's not like that. God's love for you is absolutely unconditional. And see, this is what I've learned through this teaching on grace and faith. God, by grace, has done everything. My faith doesn't make me accepted. It doesn't make God love me more. It doesn't make God love me less if I don't have it. This has shown me the unconditional love of God. And I tell you, it has revolutionized my life. And I really believe that God led me to speak about some of these things today. And there are some of you who are good people, and you may not dip or cuss or chew or go with those that do. You are trying to live a holy life, and you're doing all of these things. But you are connecting God's love for you to your goodness. And because of that, you haven't really encountered the love of God. Until you come to the end of yourself, until you quit trusting in your own self-righteousness, you aren't going to come to the beginning of God. You have to come to the end of yourself to find the beginning of God. And there's some of you that aren't there yet, that you are still very impressed. You think God is so fortunate to have you on His side. You know what? God could use a donkey. He could use a dog. And He's done it before. He spoke through a donkey to Balaam. You know what? God could raise up an earthworm to do what you're doing. You need to recognize that God loves you because He is love and not because you're lovely. I got a lot more to share about this, and I'm going to continue it on my program tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in. And also listen as our announcer gives you information about these materials on living in the balance of grace and faith.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The fifth teaching in the CD album titled God Loves Me Unconditionally is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA27C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to direct you towards our website. It is awesome. My staff has done a great job. I get compliments all the time saying this is the most information on any website. Plus, it's free. You can get 300 to 400 of my teachings free, MP3 downloads. You can watch over 2,000 of my television programs free. You can listen to about 8,000, I think it is, of my radio programs. I've got books. I've got articles. There's things on there. I've got an entire commentary, the portion that I've done on the New Testament, I think from Matthew through Titus, that is a free download. You can get it. There's just a wealth of information there. I promise you it would be a blessing. We have the address on the screen, and I encourage you to go check out our website today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. This is going to be a special time. I've got a special announcement to share with you. This will be my first time to share it publicly. And I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.